This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are halfway home on a Thursday. Feels like longer, I'm going to be honest with you. First hour flew by, and it feels like it's a little bit longer. But we are halfway home. We do have the roundtable today as well. Going to be hosted by Annie Heilbrunn. I'm excited for that.
Heilbrunn.
Annie Heilbrunn. She's going to be the host today. We've got a full house in here this morning. It's, you know, gets a little wild when Ben's out of town. I got my wife Hannah in. Good morning, my dear.
My mic is on. You don't
Your
need
mic
to touch
is.
It.
Sorry, I just want to make sure. How you doing?
God, I'm good. Thanks.
You look great.
Thank you. 30 pounds down. Thank you, SD Fat Loss.
30 pounds down.
Yes. Right on. Yesterday was my last day. I am all done.
Paulie, that's when I needed the boing sound effect because I walked in yesterday and I went. Yeah, let's talk about what happened yesterday in the garage for a sec because I do want to get into that. Paul Reindel.
Weird transition.
Okay. Paul Reindel is our executive producer. His wife Megan joins the program as well. Good morning to you.
We were
both.
Not in your guys' garage last night.
No, yeah, this was a weird thing. Corey Stewart, Vibes Merchant of the Padre Fan Everywhere, of 97.3 The Fan.
Good morning.
In your Fila velour tracksuit. You've been pretty hinged this morning in regards to the Padre.
Hey, where's the freaking gabagoo?
That's what the tracksuit reminds me of.
You haven't fully lost it yet this season.
No. And you know why? Because I had no expectations coming into this season.
We all say that, though. But then once the first pitch happens, you're like, son of a bitch, could we really make something happen?
I think Corey's involved.
I really didn't. Last year hurt me so bad.
Yeah, gutted my soul.
Like we talked earlier about just how day after day, it was awful. And to the point where I wasn't even excited about spring training.
Yeah.
And I'm always excited about spring training. And we will do a trip out there. I just wasn't excited. So this year I'm just kind of like, okay, all right, let's just see how it goes.
It's weird that perspective. I was right there with you. It was excruciating. Then we lost Peter in the off season.
It was the worst off season.
It was really terrible. And then Soto goes and it was
a month and a half of like, who's the manager going to be?
Right.
Oh yeah, I forgot about how long that took.
Usually that's like a 3-day process.
Yeah,
they already have a guy lined up, and we're just like strung along for a month. And then I was with you. And then for me, the turning point. I mean, spring training. I always get excited, especially
spring training was awesome.
We get out there; it's fun. You get excited. Baseball season. It doesn't matter what the prospects of the season look like. You're just like, baseball's back, and you get excited naturally. The Cease trade really hooked me in. I was like, I felt
huge.
Like I still kind of feel like I was like, I'm greedy. I know that we just got an ace quality pitcher. I need another bat still, but the Cease trade alone, I'm like, that's a pretty damn good pitching staff. Everybody plays up to par. We could actually make some noise this season.
Yeah, you let yourself believe, you know, certainly. And there have been many, many moments this year. You know, look, taking 2 or 3 from the Dodgers in L.A. was awesome. It was such a blast. And the big comeback victory was super cool. They've hooked me in. And they needed to. And we said a million times in the offseason, you don't necessarily have to get off to the hottest start. You don't have to go 12-4 or 17-4 or anything like that. But you got to prove a little bit that last year sucked. It was a fluke. You're able to win close games. You're able to win one-run games. You're able to do, you know, come back. You're able to not roll over to the Dodgers. They've proven all of that so far. They've exercised a lot of demons. There's a lot of demons left to go, though. There's a lot of games left to go.
Imagine if they'd started off like the Astros have started.
Oh, my God,
I mean, this town would be... buildings would be burning.
Seriously, yeah. There would be riots in the streets.
Oh, my God.
They knew that, you know? And I think that... That's what kind of got me hopeful about it. Yeah, there's a good point in the chat. Miley says the memorial was making me hopeful for the season. I missed it, and I was so upset to miss it. But I saw, obviously watched it and saw all the beautiful clips and people talking about Peter and his legacy. And it does feel different, you know. And I attribute a lot of the early, at least staying afloat, to some of that and the guys not wanting to relive what they lived last year. Because as hard as it was for us, it had to eat those guys' souls alive. And I always say this. I know they're paid handsomely. They're paid very handsomely. But, man, that's embarrassing. You make that much money and you go out and have the season that you just did. That's embarrassing. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants
that. You look back at the clips from the fan fest before that.
You want to crawl in a hole.
It is so cringe. It is so cringe.
I will say it, man. Like, when FanFest got canceled, I was like, all right.
It felt a little bit like, thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
It was like, we need the rain.
Yes. Oh, God, we need it.
I can hear the earth drinking.
Yes, we needed it for sure. But no, it's been so far so good. I won't even say so far so average. It's been so far so good. I have enjoyed watching Padres baseball more these first few weeks than I thought I would, to be honest with you. We can take your calls as well, hear from you guys out there. We haven't talked to the Tier 1s in a while. 833-288-0973. It goes without saying that there are still holes. It goes without saying that sometimes you look at it and go, this isn't going to last. This is going to fall apart. If one guy goes down, what's the effect going to be? I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say about a lot of teams. But I do feel better right now. But I do want to hear from the Tier 1s out there. 833-288-0973. Call and talk about, you know, how you're feeling as a fan. What would you like to see? I'm interested. I do every day when the lineup comes out, I go, man, this guy is really going to just keep sticking to what he believes in, you know, with Xander at the top. And it started to pay off a little bit for Xander Bogaerts. 3 knocks last night. I want that for him. I do. We need it. Ugh. He's here for a long time. And I see every day somebody texts me or tweets me, that's going to go down as the worst. And I go, hey, man, I get where you're coming from. Just saying it every day is not going to make it go away. It's not going to happen. You have to just kind of lean into it and say, and I'm not saying you got to blindly root for the guy, but I am saying, like, you're in it. You're in it. Like, there's nothing you can do to change it.
We're going
to
hate that contract.
Oh, yeah.
But let's not hate it now.
Right.
Let's not hate it this early.
Give him a shot.
I'm thinking about 2029 or 2030 or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, we're definitely going to hate it. But right now, please live up to it. Please live up
and
to it.
And it's tough. We've said it before, like, it's tough. It can be tough for people to not take that out on Xander.
Sure.
But it's not his fault that he signed the contract.
It's not. Like, it's not his fault he got that.
It may not be a great contract. We'll see. I mean, we still have 10 more years or whatever, like, to find out. But you kind of know what it's going to be at the end.
Well, I'll tell you. It's
along
like,
with Manny's.
It's for all of those guys.
Darvish. Yeah.
There's only one way out of it. There's only one way out of scrutiny.
Win the
World Series. That's it.
Just one.
You win a World Series, they're going to maybe wear you out the last couple of years of your contract, but they wear out all of the older, aging stars. You got to get one, period, the end. You have to. And
to be on the first team that win the ones there, I mean, you're going to be your goal.
For life.
Forever.
You're absolutely taken care of. That's it. That is the only single thing that will make all of this okay. And it will make all of the longtime 50-year-plus Padres fans happy. And it will make the new fans happy. It will make everybody happy. Is you got to win one, and that's, you know, you can say it all you want. You can say it all you want, but the Padre fans are showing up every single day to watch this team and root for this team. They call into this radio station. They tweet. They're in the chat. They want to talk about the team as much as they possibly can. They can't get enough Padres content, and that says something about the direction that the team and the strides that they've made over the last few years. It is encouraging, but Yeah, you got to win one. You got to win. If you win one in the next couple of years, no one's going to care really about year 7 or 8 for Manny or Xander. Those
but
guys.
I won't.
I mean, no. you won your chip and you did it. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. This city deserves it. The Padres fans deserve it. And it's certainly been fun being a part of the ride. There's no question. It's been crazy since we started our show and since Manny signed.
Could your timing have been better?
It couldn't have been better. I mean, it truly, I don't attribute much of our success to all of our collective talents. I attribute a lot of our success to timing. In multiple ways. Replacing the guy we replaced twice. I mean, auto upgrade. Doesn't matter who it is. Auto upgrade right there. Manny Machado signs. The interest in the team spikes.
I think you're undervaluing what you brought to the table.
That's
because
true.
You survived entire COVID.
We did. Yeah.
You know,
with no sports.
With nothing. With nothing. And whether the Padres have been winners or unbelievable losers, you guys have only gotten better, and the numbers show that and whatnot. So I really think they're unrelated.
I think that the timing is everything. I do. I mean,
you have
I think
to give yourself more credit.
I don't like to do that. I don't like to do that. I'm not a big fan.
What are you going to do with this one?
This is what she deals with every day.
Waiting for the sweet embrace of death.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. You and me both. You and me both. No, I mean, look, it's been, it's nice to hear some praise from the missus, though, certainly. But no, the timing has been,
it's been so rare.
It's been phenomenal. Yeah. It's been phenomenal. Yeah. And
this is a fun team to talk about. You're not talking about, when are we bringing up Chase Headley?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's hit the phones. All right, let's go out to Mark in Rancho Bernardo's calling in. What's up, Mark?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Back in 1992, I rode into San Diego on the USS Midway and decommissioned it.
Oh.
My first ball game in San Diego, I caught a Tony Gwynn ball. Foul ball. I still have that ball. And I became a fan. And I'm still a fan, even after all those third base line drives by Colorado the other night. It was killing me.
Yep.
But I still believe, I still believe. This is an exciting year. I'm super pumped for San Diego. And I hope Manny gets better soon.
Yeah, I mean, he's fine. I mean, he's semi-healthy, you know, and allegedly supposed to be back at third base pretty soon. Not having him there has just been brutal to start the season. It's just been brutal. And nothing against the guys that have been there, but he's a different level entirely watching him. And now, waiting on the news of his baby being born, and they're, obviously holding that close to the vest, which is their right to do, certainly. I think we all just want to see, because we love Manny, we love Yaine, and, wish the best for them. And allegedly, he's supposed to be back in the lineup potentially Friday against the Phillies, which would be awesome. Bryce Harper also on paternity leave right now. And so he's supposed to be back as well. Their parallels are staggering. I mean, they're on paternity leave at the same time. It's really incredible. Really,
hope you guys enjoy that.
A little
time off.
All right, yeah. So let's get into that real quick. My wife is not a big believer in paternity leave. Why not for
baseball players in the middle of the season? They don't need you. They don't need you.
You mean his wife giving birth to her first child?
Yaine is an exception. Whatever she does is perfect.
That's fine. Did you need me in the? You didn't need me that day.
No, I didn't need you to take paternity leave.
Which is why I cut it short.
Exactly, because you realized it was useless.
It was
and actually offensive, really.
It was so useless.
And instead, give women twice as much time and make men work their time.
Give women twice as much time off.
Three times.
Oh, yeah.
So,
maternity leave goes, instead of a month,
you get... So, husband's company should match a wife's maternity leave
for
by foregoing the paternity leave.
Does she make any sense?
Imagine what maternity leave would be if men were the ones having the babies.
It'd be a year.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have to take a year off.
Is that what they do like in Europe or something like that?
Yeah, they get like 6 months off.
Or 9 months or something like that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. That's what it should be.
I know
you push a human out of your body.
I know you didn't need me there at the time, but wouldn't you have resented me for not being there? It's a weird, women are very odd in that way. I don't want you here, but I need you to be here. You can't be out having fun or doing anything you enjoy. While I'm here,
if you're carrying the Padres to a victory, then I would say it's fine.
Yeah, but if you'd gone 0-4, there'd have been problems.
It is an interesting perspective. It's usually like a boomer would have that perspective.
I know, I agree. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's atypical for me, I feel like, but I think that legitimizes it even more.
David says Woods' wife is a man eater. I feel sorry for Woods. Yeah, I'm with you. Thank you, David. I appreciate that. It's nice to be sympathized with.
Don't make me come for you next. Yeah.
All right, let's give away some Padres tickets next. We will have tickets to hopefully see Manny Machado back in the lineup against the Phillies and Bryce Harper, as I just mentioned. We will do that next right here on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks so much for being here. Should I give the number now, Paulie, or we'll wait?
You want to give them now?
Let's give it now. 833-288-0973. Call now. Fifth caller wins a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's game against the Phils.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paulie, who won the Padres tickets for tomorrow night?
Alec is going to tomorrow night's game.
Congratulations. I, too, am going to tomorrow night's game against the Phillies, and I have taken I've taken on the two children solo. Me, Bo, and Taylor going tomorrow. My wife, Hannah, who joins us today on the show, you are not going to the game. Did you want to?
If there were two of me and they could be at two places at the same time.
Okay. Because you're having a day, like a self-care day.
I'm going to the spa.
She's going to the spa tomorrow. Well deserved.
Thank you.
I'll be there tomorrow if you need some reinforcements.
At the spa?
No.
Oh, at the game.
Padres game.
Yeah.
Actually. Spa. You want to train, Hannah. I'll go to the spa and you can go to the game.
Yeah, they're both equally peaceful.
Yes. It's going to be... David says, Mrs. Woods, I want to follow with, be kind and loving towards your man. Support him. David, I got to tell you, she's probably the most supportive wife of all time. And I know that we give each other a hard time. I wouldn't be sitting here today without her because I almost quit this godforsaken business one time. And I can tell the story again. It makes me emotional to talk about. So I know we bust each other's balls, but I was working across the street part time and trying to get back into the industry. And because I had walked away from the industry in support of it was a bad move on my part. And I was grinding my way back in, and I was trying hard to get back in, and I was doing everything they asked of me and then some. And we just had a baby boy, Bo, our first. And I had no health insurance. I made a not good hourly wage. I was working long, weird hours. I was working at all times of day. I was filling in on sports radio. I mean, my first sports radio show was me and Nick Hardwick, which is crazy. Like, the first time I ever did sports radio was me and Nick Hardwick. And so... I worked there for about a year across the street, and they said, oh, we really like you, what you bring to the table. We want to make you an offer. And I was so happy. I got the phone call that day, and I had this pad, and I had it down in front of me, and I was writing down, like, my agent was on the phone and telling me the numbers. Mm. And it was like $50,000 less than I made like my first job out of college. And the tears just started to flow to my face. And I took the legal pad. And she was standing there, like, holding our baby, waiting for, like, oh, my God, it's all your hard work's paid off. And I got, and I just threw the legal pad across the room, and I was in tears. And I was so upset because the offer was so insultingly embarrassing. And I said, I'm done. I quit. That's it. I'm done. Everybody was right about me. I'm not going to do it anymore. I can't do it. And she wouldn't let me quit. She's like, you're not quitting. There's no effing way. You are not quitting. You've worked too hard. Something will come up. And it did. And I would not be here today. So that's she is the most supportive wife of all time. And I will get choked up talking about it because I'll never forget it. It was there's no good reason I should be sitting here. If it was left to me, I would have been out. I would have been doing something else in sales, recruiting or something. But because of her and her support, and she has put up with so much over the last 6 years when we started this show. How many times you hear me pacing around the house screaming, you know, pissed, arguing, like fighting so hard to make sure that we do well. And I would not be able to do what I do without
three him. Phone calls a day with me.
Yeah, every single day. Poor Pauly, yeah. Just wearing it from me. So that David, she is very, very supportive. But we she's a huge ball breaker. She's a huge ball breaker. And so am I. And that's kind of our dynamic.
That's our dynamic. Right. Though it can be jarring, I think, for people who don't know us.
Yes, it's true.
And people who, I mean, I go to a lot of clients' house and Elise and I are like elbowing each other under the table. Like, can you see how they're talking to each other? They're so nice to each other. What is happening?
It's weird.
So I understand because I feel the same way when I meet a really nice couple.
Yeah. People actually speak to each other this way. They love each other.
Pardon me if I'm wrong, but.
Yeah. It's a different dynamic. In my house, you have to be on all the time. You better be on. It's like she's an alpha and I'm an alpha. And it's like always fighting. Now Bo's an alpha. So Bo and Hannah are banging heads all the time. I'm banging heads with Bo. There's just Taylor.
We're taking applications for beta.
Taylor's just chilling.
Taylor's just chilling, doing his own thing, being his own person. But I did want to share that story because I do probably give the wrong impression of
David
you.
Seems appeased.
He does. She's an excellent, excellent, supportive human being. And it's true. Like, it's behind every great man is 100% a great woman. Pauly, I know you feel the same way about your wife.
100%. She's out in
not behind. You know
Sammy.
What I mean? Side by side. It's a thing.
Not just a woman either.
I ruined it.
I mean, yeah, you had all that goodwill.
Yeah, I ruined it.
And yeah,
sometimes
a partner, a great partner.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm learning. I learn every single day.
Some men are single and do well also.
I learn every single day, right? Yeah. And where would I be without you to teach me? Corey, you have that with your wife, Molly. Your wife, Molly, is amazing.
Awesome. Molly is awesome. She puts up with a lot.
She does.
She really, yeah, I'm a lot. I'm a lot to deal with. But yeah, she is fantastic. And she sits with me every night and loves to watch Padres games.
Listens
and watch
to
me
you just
lose
down.
My mind. Yeah, but it's really just because she loves to listen to Don and Mud all the time. And, and she loves Profar. So.
Well, who's better than Don and Mud, right? Nobody.
They're the best.
Keep us entertained, the entire season long. So
all the happy talk is so good.
It's great. I love it. So we got one more pair of Padres tickets to give away. We'll give them away later in the show. We got a Rindle report coming up, but next we've got Eno Saris, one of my favorite stop downs of the week, talking to the great Eno Saris. I know it's just going to be one big Adrian Morihone love fest. And
is it Adrian or Adrian?
He says Adrian. I say Adrian.
Everybody says Adrian.
They do?
On the broadcast, yeah.
I say effing Morihone is what I say.
Yeah. Here comes effing Morihone.
He's been good this year, though. He really has.
He has been.
God, his stuff is so good.
He has been incredible. Yeah, you're like, you just want to shake him by the shoulders.
Like, can you imagine being able to throw 98-99
from the left side? Like, you're so good.
You're set forever.
I say Adrian. Adrian Morihone. Is it Adrian? All right. Well, okay. Hear what Eno says next. Corey, you're taking off?
I'm out.
I love you. Thanks
love
so
you
much
too.
For
thank
coming
you guys
on.
For congratulations. Thank you, guys.
Always a pleasure. We'll be back with Eno Saris next right here on Ben and Woods. Welcome back. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. As we mentioned, Benny is on vacation right now. He's in Henderson, Nevada. He is currently at a golf course, and he is walking through the locker room. And I'll just read one of the names of the members he sent to me. I think we've officially broken
him. This is unbelievable.
He's unbelievable. He was walking through the locker room, and there's a member of this private country club, and his name is... His name is Lou Porn, P-O-R-N, Porn, Lou Porn. And Ben got the biggest kick out of it and sent that over to us. So I feel like our job is done with Ben Higgins. Yeah, you know he was doing it when he was walking through you. I love that he said that to us so much. We'll check traffic. We'll be joined by our pal Eno Saris next.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, it's actually just Woods today. Always a pleasure to bring in my pal and your pal, Eno Saris. One of my favorite segments of the week, our super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly podcast. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Doing well.
Good
to hear from you.
Good, good. Yeah, Benny is out playing some golf, and I've got my wife in, Hannah. You can say hi to Eno.
Hi, Eno.
We got Paulie.
Hello.
We got Paulie and his wife Megan as well. So we've got the wives in here hanging out today.
Hey,
yeah,
awesome.
Today is actually bring your child to work today, not your wife. Did you know that? When you bring your child to work, Eno, what does that look like? He just sits next to you on the computer. You guys just punching up stats. How's that work?
Yeah, my 11-year-old started his first fantasy league. So we'll go through decisions there. You got to replace an IL Blake Snell right now.
Yes, I saw that.
So we'll do that.
I saw that.
And then he'll make an appearance on my podcast, which you put on YouTube, so he'll say hi. I mean, I work downstairs, so it's every day is bringing a child to work day.
pretty much, man. And you know, talking about the Blakes. Now, I feel terrible for him, man. I do. He's still very beloved by a lot of Padres fans. And I was talking to Paulie about it yesterday when we saw he went on the IL. Obviously, not off to the best start. Never really does get off to the best start. But for the Giants, you know, they spent a decent amount of money on him. They need him to produce, and he's going to be out. I think he said, you know, maybe 3 to 4 weeks. It's a huge blow for that team.
Yeah, they kind of needed him on the front end because they're going to get Alex Cobb and Robbie Ray back at some point. So they really needed him on the front side of the season. But, you know, I looked at all the different guys that have signed late, and, you know, as late as he did. And I only found 10 of them going back 10 years.
Wow.
So there aren't really that many of them. And like 4 of them happened in 2022 during the lockout.
Yeah.
But what I did find was that of those 5 pitchers, their FIP, I didn't want to use ERA in a small sample, but their numbers were worse, like a run worse. And on the hitters, their OPSs were more than 100 points lower than in April, were more than 100 points lower than their normal OPS. So I think signing late is not
good. I mean, we had it here with Manny Machado, and it's, you know, look, if it's a week late to spring training, that's one thing entirely. But Blake Snell, and we knew him, he knows himself. Here's my question to you. Scott Boras did not have the world's greatest offseason. I think Montgomery's pitched pretty well for Arizona, if I'm not mistaken, so mm-hmm. far. He didn't take, you know, didn't need the big ramp up. But other than that, I mean, guys have really not played well. That's kind of an indicative on it's kind of, you could blame Scott Boras for a little bit of that, holding out for the best deal, which is his job. But, you know, if you're Blake Snell, you got to be regretting kind of how this offseason went.
Yeah, I guess so. The only return I would say is that, like, the average annual value of those contracts he got was higher, was pretty high, you know. So he ended up pivoting towards, you know, getting the most money he couldn't get in the short term, and then trying to get back out there and get a better long term deal later. And then we all, you know, as much as we love Blake, we know that his and the other late signers, they had some questions about their stats and about their projectability. I mean, Blake has had some good years and some bad years. He's had some healthy years and some not so healthy years. And somebody like Cody Bellinger wasn't hitting the ball hard. And so, you know, most of the guys that I have on this list had questions. Like, one of the guys on this list is Carlos Correa, you know, the whole big ankle thing.
Yeah.
You know, another guy on this list is Jorge Soler. It was like, what about his defense? You know, JD Martinez, he's 39. So, you know, I might have gotten that number wrong, but he's old. And then the very first guy was Irvin Santana, who was one of these two-pitch pitcher guys that would be good some years and bad some years. And he ended up signing really late and going to the Braves for a good year. But any case, I think for Blake, the thing is that, you know, he needs to be, I think, comfortable. Even his first year in San Diego wasn't his best year.
Yeah, he said it all the time.
Yeah, and so Patrick Bailey is a good framer, but what I saw in the first couple starts was Bailey struggling to figure out how to frame Blake's stuff. And Bailey couldn't even catch Snell's first bullpen when he arrived because Bailey was playing that night because it was during the season.
Ugh.
And so, you know, Bailey's first time catching him was in a major league game. And I thought, oh, the umpire squeezing him. It was more that Bailey couldn't frame him right, I think. So, that was one issue. And then I think when you ramp up, as much as you can ramp up on your own and follow along, as much as Boris has his advisors that can help you just like a team, I think probably the best way is to ramp up slowly in spring training with a team.
You know? Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
You get an injury like that, like he has now, it's sort of like, well, maybe you ramped up a little too fast or did something weird.
Yeah, it was certainly a weird off season, and you know the season so far. You know, for our Padres here, we've been kicking it around for, you know, a few weeks now. You know, and it there's been some really, really bright spots for this team, and I think one of them I know you want to talk about is your pal Adrian Morejon. He looks like a different pitcher entirely. What are you seeing out of him? Do you think it's upstairs in the old dome, or do you think it's he's made a tweak or something? Because he really looks sharp.
Well, I think one thing that I noticed was, I mean, he's throwing like five pitches now.
Yep.
And I think we've seen those five pitches, but there's something about how he's throwing all five at the same time. And just being healthy and having the velo, it's kind of just like putting all the pieces together. We saw, like, I saw the velo. I saw that the shapes on his pitches were good. I saw that he had the potential to have a large arsenal. I mean, the way that he's pitching now, I think he can survive losing some of that velo and moving into the rotation.
Yeah,
and they need him.
Yeah, with Yu Darvish being out, you know, and Randy Vasquez is going to get another start today, and you know, there's some stuff about him I liked as well. Have you gotten a chance to watch him throw? You gotten a chance to watch some of the other arms that the Padres have thrown out? Dylan Cease has been a marvel. He's been phenomenal,
yeah.
And anybody that can do that at Coors Field, you should get two wins for pitching like he did at Coors Field the other day.
Yeah, I mean that was a first. Dennis Lynn had a great article about how it was the first pitcher to kind of put together his line at Coors Field. So, yeah, that was pretty amazing. I like he's throwing a bit of a cutter now, Cease is, and I like that a lot because every once in a while he can't put his fastball in the zone. And just having another pitch that's hard that he might be able to throw in the zone, I think, is just, you know, there's a phrase, different day, different arm. It's like, some days Dylan Cease can't really corral the fastball.
Yeah.
And on those days, it's good that he has a cutter. So I like that. With Randy Vasquez, I've always thought that he had, you know, pretty good stuff. He's had, you know, some issues locating. He's a little bit wild with the fastball at times. That wasn't necessarily a problem in his last start, but that's something to watch. And then, you know, like Johnny Brito is a guy I liked. He used to have better stuff than Randy Vasquez. He's a little bit down this year, by my metrics. And, I've been a little disappointed. I thought he looked pretty good in the spring. I still think there's a good arm in there, whether it's in the pen or in the rotation. And I think it is very important that the Padres have Vasquez and Brito, because, you know, it's just not games pitched by Pedro Vila and not games where we have to, you know, pitch somebody that might not be ready yet. I do think that Snelling is probably pretty close to ready. So, you know, when that happens, you can start to move Brito and Vasquez to the pen if they haven't established themselves as starters, and that helps your pen. So having starting pitching depth is really important for a couple of different reasons.
Talking to our pal Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods, always one of my favorite segments, and you follow so much around baseball. I know that you've got to be excited about the kids that Pittsburgh has coming up. I can't get enough. I mean, I feel like Paul Skenes throws every day because I'm always seeing highlight videos of him down in the minor leagues. What's this pitch that he's throwing? It's the splinker? What is it?
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, it's there's been a lot of discussion about if his fastball shape is any good.
Right.
And I think his response is, well, I throw 100, so.
He is something, man.
The splinker reminds me of, Yu Darvish used to throw something called the Supreme, which is somewhere between a two-seamer and a split finger, yep. You're holding it along the two-seam line, and the reason that it's so close is that you hold your two-seamer like with your fingers apart a little bit, and then, you hold your split finger with your fingers very far apart, so there's obviously just some sort of continuum there. It's just like how wide apart do you have your fingers?
Right.
The further apart you have your fingers, the less command you traditionally have of the pitch, but more movement it has, and the closer you have your fingers together, the less movement it has and the more control you have. So if he has enough control, then he can kind of widen those. The reason Yu Darvish told me he stopped throwing his is that he throws a splitter and he throws a sinker. So throwing something in between those didn't make much sense. It would be too much of a sort of a, like a mess. Like it'd just be all like one pitch. It wasn't far enough apart, as he said. So another guy who throws the splinker is John Duran, the closer for the Twins.
Yeah, he's nasty.
And Duran, he's the first person to ever – they categorize it as a split finger, and he's the first person to throw a secondary pitch over 100. So he threw his splinker like 101 or something. I would assume that Skenes is probably like at least 95. So now you're talking about a 95-mile-an-hour pitch that has movement like a sinker, but maybe even a little bit more, like a plus sinker. So then that can kind of alleviate some of the, kind of squabbling about his fastball shape.
Well, and you do wonder, I mean, you look at the Pirates right now. I don't even know what their record is right now. I know they got off to a good start. Don't know if they've come back to earth or not, but I see the young stable of arms they have. Jared Jones is beyond filthy. I'd not heard much about him. It was all Paul Skenes. And then Paul Skenes, of course, starts the season in the minor leagues and is just mowing guys down, 10, 12, 13 at a time. They're being careful with him. Jared Jones looks every bit of an ace as there is in baseball right now.
Oh, very much so. I mean, there were some questions about his command coming up, but I think a lot of it was the automated balls and strike system. At AAA, it's exploded walk rates at AAA. And so I think that basically that was actually probably good for him. It was good for him to encounter a really tough situation that made him kind of refine his command a little bit and work on it. Because he has such good stuff that he could just throw it in the zone. And that's what we're seeing now is a little bit of a, I'm just going to throw, basically 99, 100 in the zone. Throw a 90 mile an hour slider that goes that way. He has a pretty good changeup too, so he's firing on all cylinders right now, and it's pretty beautiful.
It's fun to watch, man, and the comparisons are already kind of up there. I've seen comparisons to Tyler Glass now and things like that. I mean, welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. As we mentioned, Benny is on vacation right now. He's in Henderson, Nevada. He is currently at a golf course, and he is walking through the locker room. And I'll just read one of the names of the members he sent to me. Paulie, I think we've officially broken
him.
This is
unbelievable.
He's unbelievable. He was walking through the locker room, and there's a member of this private country club, and his name is... His name is Lou Porn, P-O-R-N, Porn, Lou Porn. And Ben got the biggest kick out of it and sent that over to us. So I feel like our job is done with Ben Higgins. You know he was doing it when he was walking through you. I love that he said that to us so much. We'll check traffic. We'll be joined by our pal Eno Saris next.
It's time for the Super Polished, yet-to-be-named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch.
brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, it's actually just Woods today. Always a pleasure to bring in my pal and your pal, Eno Saris. One of my favorite segments of the week, our Super Polished Yet to Be Named Smart Baseball Weekly podcast. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Doing well.
Good.
Good to hear from you.
Good, good. Yeah, Benny is out playing some golf, and I've got my wife in, Hannah. You can say hi to Eno.
Hi, Eno.
We got Paulie.
Hello.
We got Paulie and his wife, Megan, as well. So we've got the
hi,
wives
Eno.
In here hanging out today.
Hey,
yeah,
awesome.
Today is actually bring your child to work today, not your wife. Did you know that? Are you bringing your... When you bring your child to work, Eno, what does that look like? He just sits next to you on the computer? You guys just punching up stats? How's that work?
Yeah, he started, my 11-year-old started his first fantasy league. So we'll go through decisions there. You got to replace an IL to Blake Snell right now.
Yes, I saw that.
So we'll do that.
I saw
yeah,
that.
And then he'll make an appearance on my podcast, which we put on YouTube, so he'll say hi. And I mean, I work downstairs, so it's every day is bringing a child to work day.
pretty much, man. And you know, talking about the Blake Snell, I feel terrible for him, man. I do. He's still very beloved by a lot of Padres fans. And I was talking to Paulie about it yesterday when we saw he went on the IL. Obviously, not off to the best start. Never really does get off to the best start, but. For the Giants, you know, they spent a decent amount of money on him. They need him to produce, and he's going to be out. I think he said, you know, maybe 3 to 4 weeks. It's a huge blow for that team.
Yeah, they kind of needed him on the front end because they're going to get Alex Cobb and Robbie Ray back at some point. So they really needed him on the front side of the season. But, you know, I looked at all the different guys that have signed late. And, you know, as late as he did. And I only found 10 of them going back 10 years.
Wow.
So there aren't really that many of them. And like 4 of them happened in 2022 during the lockout.
Yeah.
But what I did find was that of those 5 pitchers, their FIP, I didn't want to use ERA in a small sample, but their numbers were worse, like a run worse. And on the hitters, their OPSs were more than 100 points lower than in April, were more than 100 points lower than their normal OPS. So I think signing late is not good.
Yeah, I mean, we had it here with Manny Machado, and it's, you know, look, if it's a week late to spring training, that's one thing entirely. But Blake Snell, and we knew him, he knows himself. Here's my question to you. Like, Scott Boras did not have the world's greatest offseason. I think Montgomery's pitched pretty well for Arizona, if I'm not mistaken, so mm-hmm. far. He didn't take, you know, didn't need the big ramp up. But other than that, I mean, guys have really not played well. That's kind of an indicative on it's kind of, you could blame Scott Boras for a little bit of that, holding out for the best deal, which is his job. But, you know, if you're Blake Snell, you got to be regretting kind of how this offseason went.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the only return I would say is that, like, the average annual value of those contracts he got was higher, was pretty high, you know. So he ended up pivoting towards, you know, getting the most money he could to get in the short term and then trying to get back out there and get a better long-term deal later. And then we all, you know, as much as we love Blake, we know that the other late signers, they had some questions about their stats and about their projectability. I mean, Blake has had some good years and some bad years. He's had some healthy years and some not so healthy years. And somebody like Cody Bellinger wasn't hitting the ball hard. And so, you know, most of the guys that I have on this list had questions. Like, one of the guys on this list is Carlos Correa, you know, the whole big ankle thing.
Yeah.
You know, another guy on this list is Jorge Soler. It was like, what about his defense? You know, JD Martinez, he's 39. So, you know, I might have gotten that number wrong, but he's old. And then the very first guy was Ervin Santana, who was one of these pitcher guys that would be good some years and bad some years. And he ended up signing really late and going to the Braves for a good year. But any case, yeah, I think for Blake, the thing is that, you know, he needs to be, I think, comfortable. Even his first year in San Diego wasn't his best year.
Yeah, he said it all the time.
Yeah, and so Patrick Bailey is a good framer, but what I saw in the first couple starts was Bailey struggling to figure out how to frame Blake's stuff. And Bailey couldn't even catch Snell's first bullpen when he arrived because Bailey was playing that night because it was during the season.
Ugh.
And so, you know, Bailey's first time catching him was in a major league game. And I thought, oh, the umpire squeezing him. It was more that Bailey couldn't frame him right, I think. So, yeah, that was one issue. And then I think when you ramp up, as much as you can ramp up on your own and follow along, as much as Boris has his advisors that can help you just like a team, I think probably the best way is to ramp up slowly in spring training with a team.
You know? Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
You get an injury like that, like he has now, it's sort of like, well, maybe you ramped up a little too fast or did something weird.
Yeah, it was certainly a weird offseason. And, you know, the season so far, you know, for our Padres here, we've been kicking it around for, you know, a few weeks now, you know, and it there's been some really, really bright spots for this team. And I think one of them I know you want to talk about is your pal, Adrian Morejon. He looks like a different pitcher entirely. What are you seeing out of him? Do you think it's upstairs in the old dome, or do you think it's he's made a tweak or something? Because he really looks sharp.
Well, I think one thing that I noticed was, I mean, he's throwing like five pitches now.
Yep.
And I mean, I think we've seen those five pitches, but there's something about how he's throwing all five at the same time. And just being healthy and having the velo, it's kind of just like putting all the pieces together. We saw, like, I saw the velo. I saw that the shapes on his pitches were good. I saw that he had the potential to have a large arsenal. I mean, the way that he's pitching now, I think he can survive losing some of that velo and moving into the rotation.
Yeah, and then, yeah, with Yu Darvish being out, you know, and Randy Vasquez is going to get another start today. And you know, there's some stuff about him I liked as well. Have you gotten a chance to watch him throw? You gotten a chance to watch some of the other arms that the Padres have thrown out? Dylan Cease has been a marvel. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
And anybody that can do that at Coors Field, you should get two wins for pitching like he did at Coors Field the other day.
Yeah. I mean, that was a first. Dennis Lynn had a great article about how it was the first pitcher to kind of put together his line at Coors Field. So, yeah, that was pretty amazing. I like he's throwing a bit of a cutter now, Cease's, and I like that a lot because every once in a while he can't put his fastball in the zone. And just having another pitch that's hard that he might be able to throw in the zone, I think, is just, there's a phrase, different day, different arm. It's like, some days Dylan Cease can't really corral the fastball.
Yeah.
And on those days, it's good that he has a cutter. So I like that. With Randy Vasquez, I've always thought that he had, pretty good stuff. He's had, some issues locating. He's a little bit wild with the fastball at times. That wasn't necessarily a problem in his last start. But that's something to watch. Johnny Brito is a guy I liked. He used to have better stuff than Randy Vasquez. He's a little bit down this year by my metrics, and I've been a little disappointed. I thought he looked pretty good in the spring. I still think there's a good arm in there, whether it's in the pen or in the rotation, and I think it is very important that the Padres have Vasquez and Brito because it's just not games pitched by Pedro Vila and not games where we have to, pitch somebody that might not be ready yet. I do think that Snelling is probably pretty close to ready. So, when that happens, you can start to move Brito and Vasquez to the pen if they haven't established themselves as starters, and that helps your pen. So having starting pitching depth is really important for a couple different reasons.
Talking to our pal Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods, always one of my favorite segments, and you follow so much around baseball. I know that you've got to be excited about the kids that Pittsburgh has coming up. I can't get enough. I mean, I feel like Paul Skenes throws every day because I'm always seeing highlight videos of him down in the minor leagues. What's this pitch that he's throwing? It's the splinker? What is it?
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about if his fastball shape is any good.
Right.
And I think his response is, well, I throw 100, so.
He is something, man.
The splinker reminds me of, Yu Darvish used to throw something called the Supreme, which is somewhere between a two seamer and a split finger, yep. where you're holding it along the two seam line, and the reason that it's so close is that you hold your two seamer like with your fingers apart a little bit, and then you know you hold your split finger with your fingers very far apart. So there's obviously just some sort of continuum there. It's just like how wide apart do you have your fingers?
Right.
The further apart you have your fingers, the less command you traditionally have of the pitch, but more movement it has. And the closer you have your fingers together, the less movement it has and the more control you have. So if he has enough control, then he can kind of widen those. And, you know, the reason Yu Darvish told me he stopped throwing his is that he throws a splitter and he throws a sinker. So throwing something in between those didn't make much sense. It would be too much of a sort of a, you know, like a mess. Like it'd just be all like one pitch. And so it wasn't far enough apart, as he said. So another guy who throws the slinker is John Duran, the closer for the Twins.
Yeah, he's nasty.
And Duran, he's the first person to ever, they categorize it as a split finger. And he's the first person to throw a secondary pitch over 100. So he threw his splinker like 101 or something. And so I would assume that Skeens is probably like at least 95. So now you're talking about a 95 mile an hour pitch that has movement like a sinker, but maybe even a little bit more, like a plus sinker. So then that can kind of alleviate some of the, you know, kind of squabbling about his fastball shape.
Well, and you do wonder, I mean, you look at the Pirates right now. I don't even know what their record is right now. I know they got off to a good start. Don't know if they've come back to earth or not, but I see the young stable of arms they have. Jared Jones is beyond filthy. I'd not heard much about him. It was all Paul Skeens. And then Paul Skeens, of course, you know, starts the season in the minor leagues and is just mowing guys down, you know, 10, 12, 13 at a time. They're being careful with him. Jared Jones looks every bit of an ace as there is in baseball right now.
Oh, very much so. I mean, there were some questions about his command coming up, but I think a lot of it was the automated balls and strike system. Yeah, Triple A. It's exploded walk rates at Triple A. And so I think that basically that was actually probably good for him. You know, it was good for him to encounter a really tough situation that made him kind of refine his command a little bit and work on it. Because he has such good stuff that he could just throw it in the zone. And that's what we're seeing now is a little bit of a, I'm just going to throw, you know, basically 99, 100 in the zone. Throw a 90 mile an hour slider that goes that way. He has a pretty good changeup too, so he's firing on all cylinders right now, and it's pretty beautiful.
It's fun to watch, man, and the comparisons are already kind of up there. You know, I've seen comparisons to Tyler Glass now and things like that. I mean, those are some of the nastiest pitchers in the league, and the Pirates got, you know, seemingly a really, really good rotation of the future. Wanted to run this metric by you that one of our Padres fans out there created. Have you ever heard of the frustration index, you know? The old FFFI. I think you're going to like this. So they came up with this. It's called frustration index, and it says grounding into a double play is kind of like the error of the offense, subject to luck, not necessarily indicative of a player's underlying skill, fluky, frustrating as hell, right? So if you combine unearned runs plus errors plus grounded into double plays, your San Diego Padres rank number one right now. And this this is before last night's game, I believe. So 118 runs, 99 earned, 19 unearned, 17 errors, and the frustration index with 26 grounded into double plays, highest in the league at 62. So they are truly by you know the measurements, the most frustrating team to watch in Major League Baseball.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I would say that is, this is going to sound weird, I think it's a good sign. And the reason I say this is that outs above average is a defensive stat that has the Padres as the fourth best team in baseball.
Good.
And if you look at their offense in terms of, you know, what goes into a ground into double play, like ground balls, I guess.
Yeah.
San Diego's 10th. It's not the same as like being, they hit 44% of their balls on the plate. That could be anywhere from 13th to tonight. So they rank 10th by a decimal point.
Yep.
Miami hits 53% of their balls on the ground.
Wow.
Like, they're the ones that would, if they were leading the league in grounded double plays, they would have to think about it. The Padres, like, could they lift a few more balls? Yeah, maybe. There are also some guys in the offense that are just not necessarily ground ball hitters, but the contact guys.
Yep.
And so sometimes those guys hit the ball on the ground. Right now, the ground ball leaders are Matthew Batten. That doesn't matter.
Nope.
Luis Camposano. He's a contact guy. I think I take it. You know, he hits powerful contact. He might only hit 10 to 12 homers, but he makes he hits the ball hard, sometimes on the ground. It's a good combination, especially as your catcher. And I think the only person that worries me at all is Manny's hitting 53% of the balls on the ground.
You feel like he'll get that lift, though. He always kind of does. Like, his will come, I do believe. And you mentioned the Marlins. They are number two, you know, in the frustration index. I knew you would like that as someone that likes the metrics a lot. And that's why we have you on, to break this stuff down. We really appreciate your time today, buddy. We will talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, Tino, Sarah, thanks so much to 7 Mile Casino for making that happen every week. Yeah, man, he teaches me so much.
So good.
So much about this game of baseball. It opens my eyes as a, you know, the incredible boomer. He does live every now and then. But when I listen to Eno talk, he breaks it down for me in a way that I can understand, I'm interested in. I love, too, the fact that his 11-year-old son now runs a fantasy baseball league, probably as shrewd of a commissioner as you will ever find. He can go to his old man and be like, all right, Dad, I need to replace so-and-so here who's injured. I mean, what a resource. I've offered for years for Eno to just do my draft for me. And I think he would do it at some point. It takes about 5 hours to do a fantasy baseball draft. But Eno is just such a valuable resource for all of us. Writes for The Athletic, of course. And just love having him on every single week. So hope you guys enjoyed that. I know I did. We got Jake Cronenworth coming up in about 35 minutes. Very excited for that. I'm not the only one. And we got a Rindle Report coming up next as well. Got a crazy, crazy story,
dude,
about a new OJ movie. And I don't really know how to feel about it. And we could talk about that along with some other stories from Paulie in the Rindle Report. Anybody have anything else? We got Parker McCollum tickets as well to give away.
And another pair of Padres tickets.
And another pair of Padres
so
tickets.
So many giveaways.
Your camera's not working.
We're busy beavers. What's wrong with my camera? It's not working.
It was frozen. Now it's gone.
Having issues. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Nobody wants to see me anyway. You got Paulie and Hannah. That's the only ones on camera right now. Sammy Levin's already in the house. I see him out there diligently working for his early pregame show today. We've got
Adam's all sorts of giddy about the round
table. Got the round table today, and he's going to be hosting.
I am too.
Are you sticking around for that, Hannah?
No.
No? Okay.
No, I got to go get warmed up for our marriage counseling.
Yep, marriage counseling at noon.
Get warmed up?
Yeah, you know.
I missed the game for marriage counseling.
I didn't book it. You said we needed it.
It's fair. I said we needed it. I'm a big fan of the talking cure.
Oh.
Just rolled her eyes.
Gotta go to break.
Excited to talk to Jake Cronenworth, see what he thinks about it at 9:35. Can't wait to hear what question you have for Jake as well. Still got a lot to get to. Got an hour left in the program. Thanks so much for being here. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I gotta pee.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.